Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Nikki, we're back.
We're back.
We're always back.
We're always here.
We never left.
No, we haven't.
We say that every week.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, what a beautiful day.
It is a gorgeous day.
I mean, it really is.
Yes, it is.
And we have, we have in studio one of my closest friends, attorney Barton Morris Jr., who's going to join us in a moment throughout the entire show.
Yes, it's going to be a great show.
He took the time to drive up from Metro Detroit to be here and provide the listening audience and everybody tuning in on podcast all this information today.
I know, it's wonderful.
And he's the founder of Cannabis Legal Group, and the listeners have heard us talk about that week in and week out.
Correct.
Huge information.
Yes, there's a lot.
But first, I have a beef with you.
With me?
With you. I called you last week, and you know what you did? You dropped my phone call. I have never dropped your phone call, not once. You are on my do not drop phone call list, Nikki. I know you dropped me because it rang once and it went right to voicemail.
Because I was on the phone.
And you texted me that you were on the phone. You dropped me. I would never. There's people I do not drop. I do not drop Bart. Okay?
I let you go to voicemail, at least.
I do not drop Nikki. You dropped Todd.
I knew you would leave a message or you usually text me, but I was on the phone. Actually, no. I was on two phone calls at the same time. I couldn't do three.
When Bart comes on the show, I'm sure I'm on his no drop list.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
There's something called...
I apologize.
No, there's something called putting people on hold and getting the other phone call.
It was Cindy.
Okay. But Cindy would understand.
Cindy with computer problems, you don't put her on hold.
No, I'm just saying, you're on my no drop list.
Okay.
And now you dropped me.
I apologize.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Your hair.
What happened?
It's gone.
I did. I shaved my head.
It is really short.
It is. I haven't had it this short since I was in college in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's so short. No, this is a true story. It's so short that when I went home the other day after I got it buzzed with number one clippers, okay? Because I used to have long, beautiful black hair.
Yes, I know.
I have a flop. My dogs, I'm not kidding you, they did not recognize me as I walked up to where I live. And I feared for my life.
Ran the other way?
No, I never was on the receiving end of my dogs in that position. And even when I opened the door, they had to hear my voice.
Correct.
And smell my scent.
Yeah, they had to do a double take.
And then
there.
I let them lick my head because I want them to know I'm bald. Anyhow, listen, let's bring Bart on the show. I can't say enough about Barton Morris Jr. He's one of my closest friends. We used to be law partners. So, Bart, welcome back to the show.
Todd, thank you for inviting me and for having me. I'm happy to be here, seriously.
Yeah, you have been a guest on some of our previous shows, and the show that you were on approximately 2 or 3 weeks ago has been the most downloaded show on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud.
That's awesome.
So the listeners wanted you back on. And tell, for those just tuning in for the first time, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm a criminal defense lawyer in Metro Detroit. And since 2008, and the Medical Marijuana Act was enacted, I've been doing a lot of marijuana defense, the medical marijuana defense. That has transitioned over the past several years into the Cannabis Legal Group, which is a team of lawyers, myself and two other lawyers, who only do cannabis-related cases. So I do criminal defense, but now we're also doing business-related cannabis issues, helping dispensaries set up, get licensed, and find locations to operate. The same for cultivators. We find locations for them to operate, get licensed, get set up, and make sure that they're compliant with the Medical Marijuana Act. We help marijuana-infused processors. We're helping some kitchens. We're helping some doctors. We're helping anybody related in the cannabis market get ready for the onslaught of the business in Michigan is about to blow up, and so we're here to help everybody do that and get involved.
I'm honored to be associated with Cannabis Legal Group as an associate, and I refer clients to the group. And if you go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com, I actually have a link directly to your law firm, literally.
Yes.
And so that's how important it is that if there's a listener out there or an individual who is interested in the business of cannabis.
And that illustrates the fact that this is so widespread. It's throughout the state, and we work throughout the state. And so when we have your clients and customers and people come to your website and they come to our site, we'll go anywhere because we have a large patient population, and we have a large population in general. Michigan, and Michigan is just a large state. Yeah. So we'll go anywhere.
Now, we used to be law partners. We had a law firm.
We did.
And we first met as young attorneys. You were a law clerk for Judge Breck.
In Oakland County Circuit Court.
Oakland County Circuit Court. Yeah. And we met and had a great run together. And then we're going in different areas. And I decided to move up here to beautiful mid-Michigan, where I now represent all the amazing men and women in mid-Michigan and all the way to the UP. But you have become, and were at the time and still are, one of the top trial attorneys. I mean, Bart, folks, is a trial attorney. He is in trial all the time. I mean, you do federal cases.
Yep, I just finished one last week.
And you just do these big, big cases. So if you're someone out there, or you know someone that has a serious issue, whether it's involving cannabis or anything, give my friend Bart a call. Sorry, Bart. I'm so happy to see you. I can't even speak. Give out your number.
My phone number is 248-541-2600. We're in downtown Royal Oak.
Absolutely. So, Cannabis Legal Group, you have put on a number of live seminars. And tell us a little bit about what takes place at these seminars.
We get a lot of phone calls from people that want information. And we provide that information over the phone as much as practical, but it just takes a lot of time, you know? And so we would schedule appointments and have people come in, but still it would take a lot of time. So we decided that it would be, it would benefit a lot of people to have a seminar where a lot of people can then come and get information at one time and then also answer questions or ask questions so we can answer them for everybody. And the first one that we did in Novi was awesome. In fact, it was like overwhelmingly successful because there's a lot of people with a lot of questions as it relates to cannabis and the Medical Marijuana Act regarding dispensaries and regarding cultivation centers and caregivers wanting their questions answered to ensure that they're operating in compliance with the act and avoiding criminal liability. So the three of us, myself, Paula Gibbons, who is an attorney from Colorado, that I brought here, moved here, because she's got great experience in licensing and regulatory affairs in not only Colorado, but also in Oregon, Illinois, and New York. I have an MBA attorney, Matthew Roman.
That guy's impressive.
Yeah.
They're both impressive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you go on your website, not to interrupt you, but I just did, I mean, their credentials are just ridiculous. I mean, why would you hire anyone else?
We have a great team.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it's going to be just cannabis, for us. And that is, I think we're one of the few law firms that are dedicated solely to cannabis-related issues, our legal group, and we have a great, great team. And so we had our first seminar. It was a couple months ago. It was phenomenal, and so we're now scheduled. We got another one coming up. This one's for caregivers, specifically for caregivers, because the Medical Marijuana Act allows caregivers to grow marijuana for their patients. In fact, that's the only way marijuana is lawful. It can be lawfully grown and distributed, and at least there's a defense for it by the Medical Marijuana Act. And so caregivers are a really important part of the program and of the cannabis space and marketplace in Michigan, and so we've catered a seminar just for them to answer questions that are particular to medical marijuana caregivers.
And in fact, you and I are going to be organizing a seminar here in Isabel County in Mount Pleasant. We'll announce it in the future, and you'll hear the commercials and us talking about it mid-September.
Right. We're going to have a seminar. We're not thinking about it. We're going to have a seminar in September here in Mount Pleasant, and it's going to be great.
It's going to be huge. So listeners will stay tuned to that. So, Bart, when we come back from break, first of all, I would never drop you. I just want you to know. If you call me, you're just on the no-drop list. I just want you to know
that. I was a little surprised that, you know, I thought that Nikki would have had you on a no-drop list too. And
shocked. You know, I mean, shocked. First time ever, she dropped me. And I don't know if I'm going to take her off my no-drop list. I'm just saying, I'm not happy about that whatsoever. But when we come back from break, I would like to discuss with you, if you're a cardholder or caregiver and you would like to obtain a CPL, or if you already have a CPL and want to become a cardholder or caregiver, there's a lot of information out there, right and wrong. People feel that, oh, if I'm a cardholder, I can't get a CPL. If I have a CPL, I'm going to lose it if I become a caregiver. And I also want to talk to you about the current lawsuit taking place against the state of Michigan, and I believe the Board of Canvassers from MI Legalized, and that was the People's Initiative, trying to block the People's Initiative. I can't complain enough about that. And there's a lot of other issues that have been brought to my attention, and people need to know the answers to so they know how to protect their rights. We'll get to all those issues and more when we come back from break with attorney Barton Morris Jr. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and we have a huge show, folks. If you missed the first segment, you can catch it on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. We're podcasting, and it is free. Attorney Barton Morris Jr. Is in studio with us this morning. He is the founder of Cannabis Legal Group. Bart, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, before we went to break, we were talking about, and I teased the audience in regards to the CPL issue and caregiving and card holding. Can you discuss that a little bit here?
Yeah, that's one of the questions that we get most often. And the question is, can somebody have a permit to carry a concealed weapon and also be a patient? And the answer is, yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody can be using marijuana and be in possession of a weapon, meaning that just because you have a card doesn't mean that you can't have that weapon. You just can't be under the influence of marijuana and be in possession of a weapon. That's illegal. So, but you know, the quick answer is yes. The state law doesn't prohibit a cardholder from having a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
I get that question a lot. In fact, I also get the question regarding if I'm convicted of operating while intoxicated or operating while visibly impaired, and I'm a CPL holder, what will happen with that, and what will happen with my CDL? So I get that all the time. So those are other issues. I've talked about those on past shows, too.
If you're convicted of operating while intoxicated or any offense that's alcohol-related, your CPL is revoked for a period of 3 years.
Yeah, and your CDL is also affected. And the federal government controls the CDL laws, and they're pretty harsh. I mean, you know, there's laws out there that serve a purpose, and then there's a lot of laws out there that end up harming the majority of the people that they were not intended to harm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have these, okay. So I'll say it again. There's laws out there that are intended to punish certain individuals, but in my opinion as a defense attorney, there's a lot of laws that end up punishing the majority of people that the law was not intended to punish to begin with. So
can I talk about an example of that?
Please do.
The law with respect to any amount of THC or marijuana in somebody's system is designed to protect the roads and protect people from unsafe drivers, right? But just because somebody has marijuana or THC in their system doesn't automatically mean they're an unsafe driver. And that's completely unfair. And so I have seen countless number of cases where, first of all, it's been proven that after somebody ingests marijuana, let's say orally inhales marijuana, that the intoxicating effects will last between, I mean, the peak effects are about 90 minutes, but the intoxicating effects will last maybe, let's say, 2 or 3 hours, maybe, you know, at the most. But the THC will last in their system. The active tetrahydrocannabinol will last for several hours longer than that. And so now somebody cannot be intoxicated by the marijuana that they smoked after several hours of smoking, but still have that THC in their system, which residually in chronic users can last it for days, if not weeks. Seriously. So that law is penalizing people that whom it is not intended to penalize. It's intended to eliminate or decrease the amount of intoxicated drivers intoxicated by marijuana. Instead, it's penalizing people simply just because they're chronic users, which could be patients. Patients generally are chronic users of marijuana, medical marijuana patients, because that's what they're using. They're using marijuana for their medical illnesses, and therefore they have a much higher likelihood of having THC in their system. Although there is a provision for patients, and so the law requires that patients, the prosecutors have to prove impairment or intoxication for patients. But it's still the same. Even if not a patient, a chronic smoker is more likely to be subjected unfairly to the zero tolerance law, and that's got to change.
Absolutely. And I say that a lot, Nikki, by the way. Whenever I re-listen to the show, I always hear myself saying absolutely. So I'm going to try not to say that the rest of the show. But
absolutely.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with attorney Barton Morris Jr. He's the founder of Cannabis Legal Group, and he's also, in my opinion, as a defense attorney, one of the top criminal defense attorneys and trial attorneys in the state of Michigan and across the country. Bart, we're talking about everything cannabis this morning. So check out, but by the way, folks, check out cannabislegalgroup.com. And if you have any questions, what's your phone number, Bart?
It's 248-541-2600, or you can get me online at cannabislegalgroup.com.
Yeah, also go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com. On my homepage, I have a huge link right to cannabislegalgroup.com. I'm honored to be associated with the group and my former law partner, Barton Morris Jr. Now, Bart, you have amazing credentials. I mean, there's attorneys like myself. We go to law school. We get licensed. We take classes, courses. But you have these credentials that are just ridiculous. Can you please talk to us about some of the licensing that you are certified in and some of the classes you've taken?
You want to talk about just DUI defense or cannabis stuff or just everything in general?
I mean, you got some serious credentials. Okay. I just want the audience to know who they're listening to.
All right. So I've got a lot of expertise when it comes to drunk driving. And so we can start with standardized field sobriety testing. I've taken the course 3 times. And so I know how to, and an instructor course too. So the standardized field sobriety testing is testing that is taken by almost all law enforcement officers many times when they're doing their basic training. And then after. And so I've taken all of those courses, which I think is necessary to be a good DUI lawyer. The Datamaster is an instrument that is used to provide breath tests, evidentiary breath tests and evidence in DUI cases. And so I'm certified and taking classes and education on how that instrument works, multiple classes. Blood testing. So there's blood alcohol testing. I've taken several courses on hands-on training with respect to the operation of a gas chromatograph and a mass spectrometer with respect to testing biological substances for ethanol and for other drugs as well, so for controlled substances and cannabis too. In fact, the American Chemical Society has a program where they will certify an attorney as a forensic lawyer scientist, and so I am the only attorney in Michigan that has been certified by the American Chemical Society as a forensic lawyer scientist, having taken the 4 requisite scientific courses and then passed a comprehensive exam. So that's something that I'm very proud of. It took years for me to and a lot of money and a lot of time and effort to complete those courses, and that got me into science a lot, you know, and so. And that really got me into cannabis. And so now I'm on the council of the the marijuana law section of the Michigan State Bar, which is really cool. It's the first, we just started it in January. We now have over 350 members. Are you a member?
Soon to be.
You have to be a member.
Of course.
Yeah. So you're going to be a member. We'll have 351. And then I'm on the council of that. I'm also the chair of the science committee for the marijuana law section of the Michigan State Bar. I'm on the faculty of a couple national organizations for DUI defense, one being the DUI Defense Lawyers Association. The other one's the National College of DUI Defense. I'm also on the board. I'm a board member of the DUI Defense Lawyers Foundation, which is responsible for raising money and providing scholarships and money to attorneys that are young and that don't have it, and so we provide training. I'm also on the board of the Michigan Association of OWI Lawyers. I'm on the faculty of that association as well. We present two seminars every year and teach lawyers in Michigan how to do DUI defense.
Yeah, I mean, your credentials are just amazing. And I always tell the listeners and I tell everybody that as an attorney, I'm successful because I surround myself with other attorneys who are just as successful and have knowledge in areas that I may not have. I don't claim to know everything. Therefore, I surround myself with people who know about things I don't know about. And so I'm so proud to call you part of my group of lawyers that I'm associated with, plus one of my best friends and former law partner. But we're so happy to have you on the show, Bart. And
thanks.
Also, you're the founder of Cannabis Legal Group. Now, I get this question all the time. When the law passes and the state legalizes marijuana, who is going to be in a position to control the grow? I mean, I know we talk about this week in and week out, and I'm sorry if I'm boring some of the listeners, but you have such an interesting perspective and such insight into what's going on in Lansing and around the country and in the state of Michigan. The first thing that I think is important for the listeners to understand is that the people, as we talk about, they gathered the signatures.
All right, so MI Legalize is a group of individuals who prepared a legislative initiative and obtained signatures, responsible for obtaining signatures of qualified voters. And by obtaining about 252,000 signatures that qualify, then it will get on the ballot in November. We already know that if it were to get on the ballot, we know that over 50% of the voters in Michigan would vote for it. So we know it would pass. And when I say it, we're talking about the initiative is to legalize recreational use and possession of marijuana. So
there'll be a certain amount, though, that you can possess. You can't walk around with like 5 pounds in your...
Right, recreationally. You know, so recreationally. Not commercially.
Right.
Just for recreation.
Yeah.
Like for personal use.
So you can possess a certain amount.
Personal use and personal possession. Right. And to be able to grow. And it also legalizes hemp and the making of hemp products.
Because hemp right now is not grown in the state of Michigan. It's grown outside the state of Michigan, from my understanding.
Right.
And when my good friend Brandon McQueen was on the show, who, Brandon, we hope to see you soon. That was a case of People v. McQueen, by the way.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, Brandon's a great guy, great advocate, great person, just a great all-around guy. But, you know, when he was on the show, he was educating listeners in regards to hemp, that the state of Michigan every day loses millions and millions of dollars because hemp is not allowed or it's not grown in the state of Michigan. So when the law passes, hopefully there's something there for hemp to be grown locally to put, you know, to employ people. And there's so many great farmers in the state of Michigan, you know?
Like, yeah.
Give them an opportunity here.
So MI Legalize, they submitted the signatures on June 1st, and the Board of Canvassers went through those signatures and found them to be insufficient because many of the signatures were collected before January 1st. And so there's that six-month period of time. And so MI Legalize said, wait a second, there's a provision in the law that says that we can count signatures that we had received before January 1st. But the legislature passed a law that says that that presumption, or that there's a presumption now that those signatures are invalid. So MI Legalize has now sued the Board of Canvassers and the Secretary of State in order to assert its right to have those signatures counted, valid signatures that were collected before January 1st counted.
We contacted a number of those legislators who put their name on that law before the governor signed it. No one returned our phone calls.
Yeah,
No one returned our phone calls. And I never gave permission for my legislator to put his name or her name to, you know, on that bill that the governor can then look at and sign. So I'm not happy about that. You know, I'm tired of the minority controlling the majority, and it has to stop. My buddy Dr. Bob's running for office, 97th District here in the state of Michigan, and he's going to do a great job once he's elected. But, hey, we have to go to break. When we come back from break, we're going to continue talking with attorney Barton Morris Jr. of the Cannabis Legal Group. Be sure to look that up online, cannabislegalgroup.com, or go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com, and I have a huge link to it. And if you have any questions or need representation in regards to anything to do with the business of cannabis, you need to call my good friend, attorney Barton Morris Jr. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. My producer, Nikki, sitting across the table. Sorry that she dumped my phone call. If you're just tuning in, during the first segment, I had a beef with Nikki because I contacted her last week, and for the first time in our friendship as friends and co-hosting a radio show, she dumped my phone call, and I had Nikki on the no-dump call list, meaning if she ever called me, I would answer that phone call. Bart, you are such a dear friend of mine. I would never dump your phone call.
I didn't even think that was possible with close friends. You know, I just you put somebody on hold. Usually, the guy that you're talking to on the other line is not as important. You know, but evidently,
I was dumped. Yeah, I was dumped. And now that she saw I cut my hair, I'm off the list. So I'm off the list.
About your, let me ask you about your bike. You know, I saw your bicycle in your office there. It looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's my that's a Trek Farley fat bike. And it's made out of carbon fiber. Oh, it's carbon fiber. And it's really lightweight, and I race it. And after the show today, I'm going to go and do some training for some big races coming up. Big shout out, by the way, to Terry's Bike Shop. I get all my bikes, all my parts, all my gears in Alma, Michigan, folks. Look, it's never too late to get out there and exercise. You're a racer.
I love cycling.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Actually, you got me into it.
Oh, I did?
I think. Well, you were an inspiration.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you have likewise inspired me back in a number of areas as well. Health is one of them. I mean, you're such a healthy guy, good-looking guy, and I try to stay healthy likewise. But Terry's Bike Shop in Alma, folks, they've got a great bike sale going on right now. If you just want to get out there and ride the rail to trails, they have it's called the Cannondale BART Adventure 3. It's just a cruiser. So Cannondale is a make of a it's a manufacturer. You know that, Cam. Of course you do. Cannondale is a great brand. Adventure 3, it's an awesome rail-to-trail bike, and it's on sale right now. So if you're just, doesn't matter how old you are, you don't have to ride single tracks or, you know, double wides. You can just get on the rail-to-trail or just ride around your block. Go to Terry's Bike Shop in Alma. This is a shameless plug, but they're great friends of mine, Napper, Malpe, Terry. Get out there and look at the Cannondale Adventure 3. There you go. Great shop, great bike, Alma, Michigan, right there off Main Street. Let's get back to everything cannabis here with attorney Barton Morris Jr., founder of Cannabis Legal Group. Bart, let's talk about the issue and the subject that we mentioned during break.
Okay. So I think it's critically important for people to understand, especially caregivers, to understand what their limitations are and what dangers that they have to be aware of in order to prevent criminal prosecution and law enforcement intervention. You know, because the caregivers are who the Medical Marijuana Act identified as individuals that are allowed to grow marijuana for their patients, right? So growing marijuana can be still a risky thing. The reason is because it didn't legalize marijuana. It simply provided a defense to growing marijuana, right? So what does that mean? That means that if a police officer becomes advised that there's like a grow in somebody's basement, just because you have a card, just because you have a caregiver, doesn't mean that police officer cannot come in and check it out. You know, they can. The police officer, law enforcement will. they'll have an obligation to check it out to see if you're within the number of plants that you're allowed to have.
Wait, officer comes to your door, apartment, house, trailer, knocks on the door and says, are you a caregiver? You don't have to answer that.
No, you don't. But what if they have a warrant to search the house? So, for instance, this is what's happening. This is what happens a lot, for instance. Caregiver will be growing plants in their basement completely legally, having the under the number of plants and under the number of amount of usable marijuana, right? But it smells because they're not using the carbon filters and they're not using the equipment that is available in order to eliminate the smell, right? And the neighbors start to smell it. In fact, the neighbors begin to get annoyed by it because they can smell it all the time.
Or a landlord sees that the electrical bill is just skyrocketing.
Sure.
Call the fire department.
Call the police, yeah. Right? And then the police come, and what do? They don't just send a uniform out to check it out. They'll assign it to their detective, like narcotics division, because the narcotics team, they're going to do some specialized surveillance. They're going to come by. They may have a dog walk by the house. They may just come by and look at the house and see that there's security cameras outside or that the windows are blacked out. I mean, they may even look at your electric bill and see that there's increased electric costs, and then have a good idea that there's a grow going on inside. And so they'll get a warrant based on that. They'll also like go through your trash. They'll like grab your trash after you've put it out at night, and they'll go through it and look for things that are associated with marijuana, and they'll get a warrant to search the house very easily, even if the grow is completely legal.
See, I feel as a defense attorney, and possibly you do as well, I would believe that the homeowner, the grower is not doing anything wrong, and the fact that a magistrate or judge, you know, signs off on a search warrant, it's just not right.
Well,
I mean, it happens every day.
That's debatable. I mean, like I said, right now, the Medical Marijuana Act doesn't legalize marijuana, right?
It provides an affirmative defense.
It provides a defense. So how does a police officer know that somebody growing 12 plants in their basement are doing it lawfully or not?
That's a good point.
It within, right. You know, because what happens is that people's cards expire. I've had clients that get their raids, their house raided, and then they have their cars, and they realize that one or two of them is expired, and all of a sudden now they're growing way too many than they're supposed to, and then they lose the ability to use the act as protection, and all of a sudden they're felons, which is crazy, you know, because the Medical Marijuana Act is created a bunch of caregivers that wouldn't be there without but for the act, right? And so now there's a bunch of people growing marijuana and they wouldn't do it before, and now and they're sometimes doing it unlawfully because they're growing too many, they're not checking their patients' expiration dates, they're not locking their doors, they're not creating a significantly secure facility in which to grow. They're doing it in their home. I always suggest to people to do it out of your home and get the grow out of your house.
So here's a good question for you. So I get this all the time, and I actually give the right answer. I'm just saying it because I know the right answer. But you don't have to, if you're a grower and you're a caregiver, it does not have to be in your own leased household. Or if you have a mortgage, I mean, you can grow in another location, but I would recommend that if that's the case, that you have a legal right to be there. So if it's someone's house or someone's property, get it in writing, get a lease to be able to possess that property. Is that good advice?
Yeah, sure.
And that's something Cannabis Legal Group will do for you.
We do. We suggest that people get their grows out of their house, you know.
Great
advice.
The
house is for living. Having a grow downstairs, maybe your kids are upstairs or something, and making sure it's got to be locked at all times, you know. I had a client that just came to me recently that said she was downstairs in her basement and she was tending to her grow and then heard a knock on the door, went upstairs, and it was the police that with a warrant. They came downstairs and the grow wasn't locked because she was just down there. And she's getting in trouble. I mean, literally, like, they came and took all of her plants simply because she didn't shut the door behind her and lock it.
But here's the thing. That's unbelievable. If you are growing in another location and there's other people residing there, they cannot have access to that room. If you're a landlord, the landlord can have a key because that's the landlord, but that does not give them permission to go in anytime they want, only under certain circumstances. So what other locations have you seen people growing in, and what would you recommend?
You can rent a house, you know, but I recommend getting out of a residential area, you know, completely.
Agreed.
There's plenty of industrial areas in which you, a caregiver, can rent a completely reasonable for a completely reasonable rent, a place that's much more suitable for growing marijuana. And then they could be much more controlled. The security is much better. And they have the ability to be able to manufacture it for growing marijuana. You know, a lot of these basements are not made for greenhouses.
Bad ventilation.
Right.
But here's the other issue. Getting a landlord to agree to allow the grow to take place and lease it to you, because there's a lot of landlords who are very nervous and they're not educated. And I understand that. I mean, but there's a lot of landlords who will. So how do you find a landlord? I guess you just have to keep trying, that will agree to lease you a warehouse space to run a legal grow.
Just last week, I spoke at an event just for real estate professionals that own commercial property, and all of these guys had questions about what can they do in order to protect themselves, because they want to be able to rent. To this industry, and it's just growing and growing and growing. It's going to come to a point where they're not going to be able to avoid it. They want to do it. They just want to protect themselves, and so they can do it in a couple different ways. One is to ensure that their lease has provisions in it to require the lessee, the person that's doing the grow, simply just to follow the law.
Comply with the act,
right? And so it requires that. But also the landlord can take it a step further and do something affirmatively in order to ensure, like make periodic inspections. You know, we have landlords that come to us and hire us and put these caregivers on a regulatory compliant plan, so that we ourselves, the Cannabis Legal Group, can oversee these grows to ensure that they're lawful and it protects the landlord's interest.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on this topic with attorney Barton Morris Jr., founder of Cannabis Legal Group. You can look it up online, cannabislegalgroup.com, and you can even check it out on my website. I have a direct link on my homepage, centralmichiganlawyer.com. Let us know there's a contact info. Let us know how you like the show. And if you have any questions for attorney Barton Morris Jr., because he's a regular guest on our show. And in September of this year, obviously, Barton and myself, along with his Cannabis Legal Group, we're going to be putting on a seminar here in Mount Pleasant at a location to be announced soon for all the listeners, friends, and family who are interested in the business of cannabis. So when we come back from break, we'll continue talking to my good friend Barton Morris Jr. right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, currently on Nikki Morissette's phone call dump list. I contacted her last week on the phone, and it went right to voicemail after one ring. Bart, I would never do that to you.
Thank you. I wouldn't expect you to.
You're an instant answer. If I see your name, which we talk all the time, I would take that call immediately.
Yeah, actually, when I do call, I expect you to answer.
Yeah, you could FaceTime me at midnight, and I'd take the FaceTime.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'd be interested in doing just that. I'm afraid at midnight.
We're talking to one of my dearest, closest friends, attorney Barton Morris Jr. We used to have a law practice together, and I moved up to mid-Michigan, and he is currently in Royal Oak, Michigan, has an amazing law firm specializing in criminal defense and everything that has to do with cannabis. Bart, what's your website?
It's cannabislegalgroup.com. Do you know, I just got this sense about how we used to do this in 2001 or 2002. We would go to the radio station and would do just stuff like this.
We were on 97.1 Detroit's FM talk station. We also had a cable
3.1.
show. It's WDRQ.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were also on 97.1.
Oh.
Remember I had the show?
Yeah, that's right.
I had the show.
Yeah.
And on Sunday mornings, but you and that's I would go to WDRQ with Jay Towers and...
And the Morning Revolution.
Yeah, we used to do that. And then we had a cable show going.
Yeah, we did that too.
We were always giving out information, and here we are all, decades later, still doing
it. Doing it again.
Doing it again. We're back. Nikki always says, we're back, but you and I are back. CannabisLegalGroup.com. I cannot say more. I just can't talk enough about what a great law firm and what a great, outstanding, talented group of attorneys that you lead up, Bart, at your law firm. So just
thank
outstanding.
You. Let me tell you about him real quick. We have
please do.
Paula Givens. She's a lawyer from Colorado. And she has a significant experience in regulatory compliance, licensing, and cultivation. And we brought her here just for that experience. That's what makes our group really strong. Well, that's one reason why. Another reason why is because I think that we have me, which is definitely one of the best criminal defense attorneys in Michigan.
And agreed, so hands down.
Even our business clients, though, can benefit from that because we give them the advice necessary to ensure that they reduce or eliminate their criminal liability. And everybody appreciates that. Because if you're not operating in compliance with the law, you are committing a crime, you know. So we have that. And then we have an MBA attorney, Matthew Roman, and he is a whiz. Definitely one of the rising stars in the legal community, especially the cannabis community, and sets up all of our business contracts, our corporate entities, is really creative about how to set up different corporations, management contracts. He's really smart about real estate issues. He's a whiz. And so the three of us together are doing good work.
And people don't have to wait for the law to pass where it's legalized. I mean, I recommend you contact, you know, Cannabis Legal Group immediately or attend one of the seminars that are upcoming. In fact, you and I are putting one on in September this year. The listeners will hear plenty of information about that coming up in the upcoming weeks. But it's not too soon to set yourself up so that when the laws are passed, that you're in compliance and you're all set. Why wait till the law passes? Get the information now. Get yourself in a position where you are protected legally with the right legal team so that you're ready to go. You're not behind 6 months. And here's a question everybody wants to know. Obviously, there's a lawsuit against the state of Michigan right now. A year away, 6 months away. When is this going to happen? When is Michigan going to be like Colorado?
You know, there is a lot of talk about the law changing later this year. The Senate is going to have before it the opportunity to vote and pass a package of bills that many people think is going to happen. I personally think it's going to happen, and if it does happen, it's going to then begin the opportunity for the state of Michigan to create the regulations necessary to establish a marketplace, a commercial marketplace for commercial cultivation of cannabis and then the sale of cannabis at dispensaries. And so just what you said is absolutely right. We have our clients right now putting them in position to be able to be one of the first accepted licensees through the state of Michigan to get a commercial license to either grow cannabis or to sell cannabis. For instance, cultivators, right? Right now, we are establishing multiple caregivers under one roof, so that but they're all being compliant, they're all doing it lawfully, but we're setting them up so that they have the regulatory compliance necessary to show the state, let's say 18 months from now, that they can operate in the manner in which that they would expect, that the state would expect. And so providing a license or providing an application in order to get the license is going to be a really robust application to show that they're engaged in a chemical testing program, that they have an operations manual, that they have the proper procedures for waste disposal, security, integrated pest management. Everything is going is put together on paper, including their harvest records and the tracking of their plants, so that we can show the state that they're deserving of a license to commercially cultivate, which I believe is going to be necessary. So there's no reason to wait until that license becomes available. We can start now to ensure that our clients will qualify.
And absolutely, I said it again, absolutely, Bart. And in September, Barton Morris Jr., together with Cannabis Legal Group and myself, Attorney Todd L. Levitt with Levitt Law Firm. We are going to be organizing a huge seminar here in Mount Pleasant for all the listeners to educate themselves and put themselves in a position through Cannabis Legal Group to be those individuals who are up and running. And that's so important to, you know, get in position and to protect yourself. Therefore, you know, you can sleep at night. But I have a question for you, Bart. I get a lot of calls in regards to edibles, and I tell them what the law is. Edibles are not legal right now. That's just my opinion. I know there's some defenses. I have a question for you, Bart. Here's a question. To what extent does the Medical Marijuana Act protect individuals who are in possession or cultivating, I should say, edibles?
The Medical Marijuana Act does provide protection against somebody that's in possession of edibles, but only if they're established in a medical use of those edibles. And that defense is going to be a little bit more is going to be more robust than just a flower defense. So, for instance, if somebody has under 2.5 ounces of flowered marijuana and they have a card, then they're immune from arrest, prosecution, or seizure of their of that marijuana. The edible is a different story, though, because that is not identified as usable. It doesn't fit the definition of usable marijuana, and therefore it doesn't qualify for the protection under Section 4. So there's another section, 2642, Section 8, that does allow for a defense, but it just requires a little bit more evidence. We have to demonstrate
a fortified relationship with a physician.
See, Todd, you
know what I'm doing.
Maybe I should ask you. Yes,
but
you have to
go
establish
ahead.
A bona fide relationship with a physician. You have to establish that the extract or the edible or whatever is possessed for medical use, not for recreational use. And you have to demonstrate that the amount possessed wasn't more than reasonably necessary to ensure the uninterrupted supply.
If you're just tuning in, we have been honored to have attorney Barton Morris Jr. from the Cannabis Legal Group in studio today from Royal Oak, Michigan. Barton is one of the top trial attorneys in the state of Michigan and founder of Cannabis Legal Group. Check out the website, cannabislegalgroup.com, cannabislegalgroup.com. Also, stay tuned for an upcoming seminar in September that we are jointly putting on together here in Mount Pleasant, location, date, and time to be announced. Bart, will you come back on the show in the next month or so?
Yes.
You are one of our favorite guests and one of my favorite people, and I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to come here today for the benefit of the listening audience so that they can stay educated and informed and within the law.
That's awesome. Yes, thank you. That's a lot of what we do. We have to educate people so that they can protect themselves and they can partake in our cannabis culture that we have growing in Michigan, but they just have to do it within the law.
And how can people get in contact with you directly?
We have a lot of information on our website at cannabislegalgroup.com, and of course they can communicate with me through that website. Or they can communicate with us through Todd's website.
CentralMichiganLawyer.com.
Right.
Or call my office at 989-772-6000. I consider Mr. Morris to be a group of attorneys that I associate myself with, which I have for a long time because you're my former law partner,
yeah,
that I rely on to provide information and representation to the highest of my ability to my clients. So it's always about the team. It's about the client, but it's important to surround yourself with, you know, people who know what you know and then some, and you're one of those individuals. So I'm just honored to be associated with you in Cannabis Legal Group. Nikki, Bart, again, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
And what's going on today? What do you got going on all day today?
Oh, I'm going to drive back and prepare my presentation that we're going to give to the caregivers and prepare for my trip out of the country next week.
Outstanding. And I won't talk too much about that trip, but I'm jealous. That's all I want to say. The last trip you and I took together was at Cedar Point for the weekend.
Yeah.
We had a great time riding those coasters at night. When we had a law firm, we used to take our staff to Cedar Point every summer. And, man, we should just do that again. I have not been back since.
I'm not sure if I've been back either.
I have not been back since, no. And I'm, you know, first I have to get over being dropped by Nikki Moore instead of phone calls, but that's a whole nother issue. But anyway, again, thank you very much. And if you missed any of the show, you can catch this show and Attorney Barton Morris Jr. and everything that has to do with the legalization of cannabis and Cannabis Legal Group on iTunes. It's free. The Todd Elevate Law Show, Podbean, and SoundCloud. We're podcasting. And Mr. Morris was on our previous shows, a number of shows, and you can listen to Mr. Morris on those shows as well. So, Bart, have a safe trip downstate. Nikki, what a show.
It was a great show.
No, it was.
Awesome.
It was amazing.
Yes, it was.
I mean, what can I say? I'm honored and yeah. Just so privileged to have someone with his knowledge, expertise, and experience here in studio to provide the listeners with all that information that is so valuable.
Yes, it is. It was an honor to hear all this.
And there's so much more to get to, so we're definitely, when Mr. Morris gets back from Europe or where he's going out of the country, I'm not sure where he's going, I'm not going to say it, but wherever he's going, when he comes back, we'll have him back on the show, and we'll keep, you know, providing listeners with information.
Yes.
So, have a great Sunday.
Have a great Sunday.
Am I back on the no drop list?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you.
I will
Nikki.
Never do it again.
I appreciate that. That's right. It's a great day today. I'm going to go out there and ride my fat bike and save a turtle.
There you go.
Save a turtle. Nikki, so what do we always say?
You're not just a litigator.
I'm an advocate. Van Halen, take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, and Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house.